Beware the Wheelers for episode number 8 of the Retro Rewind Podcast.
Retro Rewind systems initialized. Mission identified. Return to us. 1985. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I'm a dad, a geek, and a web designer sometimes. But right now, I'm podcasting. So glad you joined us today. I am joined, as usual, by my co-host and somewhat good friend when he's not knocking Apple products, Paul Powers. How are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing pretty good, considering I'm a hypocrite since I own an iPhone. But besides that, it's pretty good.
All right, well, before we get to our guest host, here is your question. Who would win in a fight, C.S. Lewis or J.R.R. Tolkien?
You know, before I answer...
And this is just a fist fight, not their works or anything, just a fist fight.
Oh, I don't know. At what age were these people? Because they're both dead now, so if you throw the bones together, who would win? I would say, of course you have to pick your favorites. I mean, since we don't live in their time, so I would have to go with C.S. Lewis.
All righty. And I'm talking to our guest host this week. Very glad to have my friend and neighbor, Kellen Arb, on the show.
Hello.
Hello. And I didn't check with you. Is it okay to say your last name?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It is now, apparently.
Right.
All right, kind of. Will you please share what your occupation is for the listeners?
I am a software developer.
Oh, very cool. Can you share where?
Mentor Graphics, which does not have anything to do with graphics.
Or mentorship?
Really, no.
All right, well, that doesn't sound very aptly named, but all right, cool. And what do you...
Rhode Island.
Touche.
Rhode Island? I'm so
not a road now. Or an island.
Oh, I thought it was an island.
No, it's landlocked.
Oh,
he's gonna look it up now. Yeah, he's pulling up a map.
All the time, I thought Rhode Island is an island.
See,
you learn new things when you tune in to the Retro Rewind podcast.
Yeah. All right, it's not completely landlocked. There's water on the south side and stuff, but it's not an island. It's
Well, all right. What do you like to do in your spare time, Kellen? And after that, who would win in a fight, Tolkien or C.S. Lewis?
In my spare time, I spend a lot of time with my daughter, who is one on Sunday.
Yeah, so, happy birthday, daughter of Kellen.
Yes, we have survived a year. So for the last year, that has been pretty much my free time. But when I'm not playing with her, I like video games. I like reading. I like comics. So, nerdy stuff, more or less.
Cool.
Very nice, very nice.
And, obviously, Tolkien would win in the fist fight.
All right. Well, it's the battle of the co-host versus the guest host this week. But we can't go too much more into that. Paul, instead of fist fights between you and Kellen, what are we going to be doing this episode?
Oh, this episode... Well, we're going to have our usual NewTube segment, and as you heard in the intro, we are going to be doing a roundtable pizza discussion on the Return to Oz, and we'll give you a final verdict on whether Return to Oz is a classic or second class, and wrap up with show announcements.
We're going to wrap up?
I know, and I said announcements.
Also, roundtable pizza.
Yes.
Yes.
We're hoping they sponsor us at some point.
Yeah. One of us has to talk to them, though.
Oh, yeah. That might be helpful. Kellen, do you have any connections with them?
Wait, all right. No. I've had their pizza.
Oh, unlike our host here.
I've had their pizza.
Oh, I thought you said roundtable. I thought you'd never heard of that before.
No,
but I guess I'm remembering wrong. Kind of like what you do with the movies.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say, if anybody's remembering wrong, I've listened to the show. It's Francisco.
You know what? I need to engage. Alice, help me out here. Engage NewTube for me, please.
NewTube systems engaged.
So, Kellen, this is you said you listen to the show, but for those of you listeners who may be new to the Retro Rewind podcast, our NewTube segment is where we talk about new movies or video games or even music sometimes that we're sort of playing slash watching slash listening to and whether we like it or not, so we can recommend it or not to you, our listeners. So, Kellen, let's start with you this week. What is new on your tube?
On Tuesday, this little game called StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm came out.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yes, and I had already purchased it. However, back to the one-year-old, I've had about 10 minutes of playtime. But an amazing 10 minutes.
I bet.
Yeah, life-altering.
Of course, I'm sure like 8 of those minutes were cinematic, so you didn't...
That's why it was life-altering.
Two minutes of playtime.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I think I clicked a probe. That sounds inappropriate.
Were you playing as Protoss?
No, not really.
Well, then you'd be...
I clicked a drone, fine.
Yeah, gosh. Get on the ball.
My bad.
Well, very awesome. I'm very jealous, and hopefully I will be getting that sometime in the near future. I was going to go into more StarCraft goodness, but instead, let's move on. Paul, what's new on your tube from the past few weeks?
This past week, Val and I went out to see the movie The Oz, Great and Powerful. Since we're keeping on the Oz theme, I thought I'd do the Oz movie for my new tube.
Christy and I are going to be seeing it tomorrow, so please try not to spoil us, but you can go ahead.
Ooh, I'll try.
Okay.
I enjoyed it for the most part. It's definitely a movie I would like to see again, but I probably wouldn't own, if that is a good balance way to check it.
Totally. Yeah.
It has its fun moments. It's some of the things are based on the books, some of the things are based on the previous movies. They try to like take different parts. Some things are not based on the books, like the wizard kind of has these romantic interests in a couple of the witches, which is not in the books. But the whole idea of the wizard being a humbug and, you know, kind of being this this fake person who tries to put on this grand show, but it's really all tricks and mirrors and things, mm-hmm. is in the books, and that theme is in the movie.
Oh, okay, cool. So have you read the books then?
Yeah, actually, this past year, I read like the first 7 or so books.
Wow, how many are there?
There's 14 or 15, I forget. So it was really interesting for me to watch Return to Oz, because Return to Oz is based on second and third book. Yeah, second and third book. They both put both books into one movie, so that was really interesting.
Ah, kind of like what the animated Lord of the Rings movie tried to do.
If I saw it. I only saw the Hobbit animated version.
Yeah, it pretty much tried to squeeze in all three books into one very...
Like hour and 10 minute.
Yeah, hour and 10 minute animated movie.
Wow.
I wouldn't say it was all that successful, but it's worth checking out just to say you checked it out if you're a Lord of the Rings geek. As I'm sure Kellen has seen it since he picked Tolkien.
Yes, I have seen it.
Okay. All right. What's been new on my tube, you may be wondering? I recently saw it. It came out to Redbox, so it came out, I think, a while ago. But it's called Here Comes the Boom. Christy and I saw it, and we're to give you a little bit of background, we're both into mixed martial arts, so we certainly...
Your fights must be awesome.
It's how you keep a marriage strong.
Yeah.
We don't actually fight physically when we're fighting. Well, that'd be fun. But we train at Ernie Reyes World Martial Arts.
Cool. Ernie, as in Ernie from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yes, and Surf Ninjas and lots of other movies. But it's his dad's association. Anyways, getting way off topic there. So like you said, Paul, Kevin James's character is a teacher. He is trying to save the job of another teacher, and he needs to raise a lot of money. So he gets into mixed martial arts, does some fights for money, and eventually goes on to the UFC. And it's just really cool seeing that progression. So, certainly hokey moments, and though I enjoyed the way it sort of wrapped up, I felt like it is a Hollywood ending. So take that.
Would you say it's a classic or second class?
I can't rate movies that are this recent classic or second class. I would watch it again. I would say it's a rewatchable.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on my movie?
Dangerous question.
I haven't seen it. It looks dumb.
Have you seen it, Kyle?
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, I'd recommend you guys check it out if you have nothing else to watch. It's worth a rental.
Okay.
Let's move on to our roundtable discussion of Return to Oz.
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
What just happened?
This summer, Walt Disney Pictures presents a motion picture fantasy adventure beyond your fondest imagination. You'll be transported miraculously back to the enchanted land of Oz, that magical kingdom beloved by young and old for generations.
It's just a yellow brick.
No, Belina, you don't understand. This was the Yellow Brick Road.
You'll share with Dorothy Gale the shock of finding everything mysteriously changed.
What's happened to everybody?
And you'll delight with her discovery of four wonderful new friends who band together against a wicked queen and the dreaded Gnome King. This is the Oz you haven't seen before, and this is the Oz you'll want to visit again and again. From Walt Disney Pictures comes a whole new world of entertainment.
Just fly back to Kansas.
Return to Oz.
Returning to Oz. Paul, why don't you give us the synopsis for Return to Oz in case anyone didn't really make out what it was about in that trailer?
Okay, so basically, Dorothy is back at home in Kansas after her first escapade in the land of Oz, and unable to convince anyone that her adventures truly happened. Concerned, Auntie M takes Dorothy to the doctor, who plans to treat her with shock therapy. While trying to escape therapy, Dorothy and her now-talking pet chicken, Belina, are propelled by a lightning storm back to Oz. But things are not as she left them. The Emerald City is under rule of the evil Princess Mombi and the fiendish Gnome King. The Yellow Brick Road is broken. The city is a dirty slum, and her friends, the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man, have been turned into stone. It is up to Dorothy and her new friends, TikTok, a helpful robot Jack. Oh,
a helpful
I guess
robot,
it's supposed
comma.
To be TikTok, a helpful robot Jack, who has a pumpkin head and a Gump, to save Oz. Join Dorothy on her exciting new adventures in her quote-unquote Return to Oz.
Thank you very much, Paul. And we'll get into what a Gump is in a moment. But Kellen, will you read the technicals of Return to Oz?
You bet. Return to Oz was released June 21st, 1985. It was directed by Walter Murch and produced by Paul Malansky. It starred Feruza Balk, Nicole Williamson, Gene Marsh, Piper Laurie, and Matt Clark. The budget was $28 million, and you know it was a hit in the box office because it made $11 million.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. Yes.
Was that Mario dying?
Yes, that was Mario dying.
The rhythm was good. You could use some work on the notes, maybe.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
But it was recognizable for some of us.
Yes.
Thank you, Colin. All right, guys. Let's hit our most vivid memories first of Return to Oz. So, when I first asked you to do this, Kellen, and I said, we're going to do Return to Oz, what was the first thing that popped into your head?
The first thing that popped in my head was TikTok.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
The wind-up mechanical robot character.
dude was awesome.
Yes.
As a child.
Yeah, I loved robots growing up. I still do.
Really? Awesome.
And so I just thought he was super awesome.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What did you think about TikTok, Paul? Or did you remember him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's completely agree. One of the things that stands out is awesome. And what's really funny is my brother made a YouTube video of Kesha TikTok. and with a video mashup with all clips from Return to Oz with TikTok in it with for her.
That is genius.
Don't stop.
Is there a line in the song about wind me up? Because that'd be too good.
I know, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely TikTok was one of the characters. I remembered, though I didn't remember that his name was TikTok. I had written down the memory of this bronze robot guy. But I was very, very much enjoyed him watching him a second time as well, even though I didn't remember his name the first time. Paul, how about you? What would you say your most vivid memory of Return to Oz was?
I was going to say that the TikTok character, this has been kind of a running joke between my brother and my wife. I think my brother started it whenever a light turns, we're waiting at the light while driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes from red to green. Someone will turn, it's green, Dorothy. or whenever there's an object that's sitting on a tabletop,
uh-huh.
We turn to each other and say, it's green, Dorothy.
Is that some TikTok set? I can't remember. I thought that was Gump for some reason.
Or I think it was Scarecrow. Or
yeah.
I think the line is actually when they return. Spoiler, but when they return out of the Gnome King's palace back to the Land of Oz, and they're stuck, something stuck on the antler of the Gump.
Uh-huh.
I think
yeah.
One of the lines there. I think the Scarecrow says, "It's green, Dorothy." I think
okay.
That's the particular line, but I think the line is similar also inside the Gnome King. Palace
when they realize the trick
gotcha.
So that's kind of been that's kind of been a family thing that's stuck in our through the years
for
so
30 years.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get rid of that, but anyway.
That's awesome. No, yeah. That I love it when movies have that sort of lasting impact, and you're saying lines from them many years past since you last saw it. For me, my most vivid memory, well, I have one really vivid, the most vivid one was the Wheelers and their body scan mechanics. And it was just I remember being really scared of it and
creepy,
their
huh?
shriek when they let that out. So that definitely had stuck with me all this time. And
hey, Francisco.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That actually was in the movie. Oh my God.
Yes. That happened.
Now, well. Speaking of which,
yes. Your other vivid memory was...
My other vivid memory almost wasn't in the movie. I was getting concerned that you guys were going to be able to mock me. But I had written down that Dorothy is in a crib and it fills with water when she is getting to Oz. And so I think it was more a wooden crate, but I had remembered it as a crib. But at first, when you're in that scene, she's just hanging onto it like a plank. I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally remembered this wrong again.
No, it totally looks like a crib.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been.
You're vindicated.
Vindicated. Thank you. There's the word.
Yeah. For now.
Oh my gosh.
Congratulations. You passed.
Level one.
It only took what, 8 episodes?
Oh, Paul, how about you tell us what's one of your favorite memories to move on to that?
I also liked Jack the Pumpkinhead guy, mm-hmm. Nightmare Before Christmas kind of ripped off me personally.
It is a similar style overall.
Yeah, but I thought he was a fun character.
Mm-hmm. Just in general. Okay.
Yeah, I thought actually watching it the second time around, it was amazing how they made him move and every one of the things that absolutely. I really liked is that none of the characters were CGI,
yes.
Which they would be if it was made today.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed that. A lot of times I was like, how are they doing that? I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. I go ahead and finish.
I was about to say, I saw on the DVD has little behind the scenes.
Oh yeah.
And they said that they got a really tall, skinny guy to play a lot of the scenes for Jack.
Oh really? Like, okay. I was wondering about that.
Really tall and really thin.
Huh.
Yeah. You could notice that in some scenes he was definitely like a bundle of sticks with strings, mm-hmm. or had to be. And then, yeah, he suddenly started walking and I was like, well, how are they working that?
So, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I totally want to pick up on that whole CG versus practical, because that was probably my favorite thing in rewatching this movie, was just the practical effects and just the overall visual effects. I believe I even saw in Wikipedia that this won an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects or something like that.
It was nominated, but
lost. Nominated. Yeah. Oh.
It lost to Cocoon or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Lame.
Cocoon was pretty cool.
I've never seen it, but I am prejudging it.
Oh, lame. You shouldn't do it. It's about a bunch of old people.
Yeah, surprisingly so. Yeah, it was lost to Cocoon. Yep.
Yeah.
But I just, I loved seeing that. And the movie was more magical to me because of that. Because they're doing things with TikTok and with Jack that I'm like, how do you do that? I mean, I'm seeing this real thing. I mean, yeah. From all intents and purposes, it's real. And it's moving in ways that seem completely real. How, Paul?
Jim Henson Company.
No.
No.
Is
yeah.
it? We looked. Is we it watched. Jim Henson? I didn't see Jim Henson.
Brian Henson was involved.
No, it's Brian Henson. Yeah. And the same people that are involved in the Jim Henson Company, mm-hmm. helped make this. You know, it wasn't an official Jim Henson production, but the same people that make the magic of Jim Henson worked on this to help make the magic.
Because we watched the credits at the end to try to find it, and mm-hmm. we saw Brian Henson, but we weren't sure.
Brian Henson led that. It's not Jim Henson.
Okay, okay.
Was Frank Oz involved?
Not that I know of.
That's too bad, because that would be awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, a little too much Oz connection.
A little too much Oz, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally missed my Yoda impression, guys. That's okay.
No, we didn't.
No, yeah, we were trying to save you and not say anything.
We were actively ignoring you, but okay. Obviously, that wasn't a favorite moment of the last few minutes, but Kellen, what was a favorite moment from the movie that you had?
Remembering or rewatching?
Well, first remembering.
Okay.
And how'd that compare to rewatching it?
Yeah, so... TikTok was still, I mean, it was not only, he was my most memorable, but he was also my favorite. And specifically, one thing that just stuck with me that I always thought was hysterical as a kid was the pick me up, pick me up, pick me up, which just killed me when I was a kid. And I have to admit, I laughed when I watched it this time.
Yeah.
So I think he held up, and that scene was totally. Still pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool when he... was fighting the Wheelers and he just spun around.
Right. With the lunchbox.
Yeah. Yes. And that's actually in the book. He fights off the Wheelers with the lunch pail.
Nice.
You know, spilling. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I definitely enjoyed, again, I think we're going to probably talk about TikTok several times throughout this episode, but he was pretty amazing. I loved his eyes. I thought the way they chose to design his eyes were like really, yeah, I felt like he is a real character, even though they were just glass and blue, but I don't know, they had life in them, in my opinion.
Especially when you get the tear.
Yes, exactly.
The oil.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very cool. Let's see, one of my favorite memories was, as I pull it up here. Oh, I really liked, I remember liking this movie because Dorothy was essentially on this quest and she picked up new team members as she went on during the quest. I mean, first she starts off with Bellina, which is similar to most RPGs, usually have at least two characters. And then she finds TikTok, so then she has like the tank character. And then she finds Jack Pumpkinhead, which is sort of like this weak character that you wish you could eject from your party. and then Gump is sort of the vehicle that they cruise around in. So
that's when they get their chocobo.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was thinking more from Chrono Trigger, the time travel.
Yeah, the time.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm referring to elements from role-playing games that I was able to pick up on in this movie, which I enjoyed that. At
least very good analogy.
Yes.
But that was only the memory. Rewatching the movie, I kind of was let down in that regard. I felt like TikTok was definitely awesome. Loved that she found him right away. But then, as I was sort of alluding to, Jack Pumpkinhead and Gump, I felt like, I don't know what it was. I felt like they're really surface level characters. I would have liked to, I mean, I know Jack was looking for his mom, but I never really got the sense of why did he lose his mom? Why was Ozma. Yeah, that too. Ozma, his mom, like this is all probably stuff that's you go into more in the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that, so I lost it with him in that regard. And then Gump, I felt like, yeah, they flew and then they got there. And I almost felt like Jack and Gump were just there to artificially increase the tension in the last act, where they're like, they're going in trying to find the object, they don't. Then they're turned. And then the next one goes in, tries to find the object, they don't get it. So it's like, what's going to happen? Which as a kid, I think that makes sense. But as an adult, I'm like, okay, I know that none of them are going to pick this because it has to be Dorothy. Could Dorothy just go in, please?
Well, so, that's a cynical adult's view.
I'm rewatching it as an adult.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was... I was, I guess, a little disappointed in that regard, but...
No, you're right. They definitely didn't build up either character. Mm-hmm. I mean, they try to endear you to Jack with the whole, can I call you mom thing?
Yeah.
Which ended up just being hysterical, I thought.
Especially when his head drops, mom!
Mom! Yeah. Pretty much every time he called her mom, I cracked up. I think it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Paul, since you read the books, do they go a lot more into those characters?
They definitely do. Funny enough, Jack is more of a worrier in the book.
Oh, really?
Than even in the movie. Yeah, he gets more. But the whole character development, and he basically sums it up at the end, like, oh, and actually, while they're building the Gump, he basically sums up his whole story in like two or three sentences.
Oh, all right.
And the Gump, you probably would have enjoyed it better if she ran across Forrest Gump instead of that couch thing.
They all climb on top of Tom Hanks and fly off to the mountain.
Fly, Forrest, fly.
Them's on my magic shoes.
That's awesome.
We never described what a Gump is, did we?
Oh, yeah. For those who don't know... Kellen, why don't you go for it?
Sure. The Gump is like a moose creature, at least in the movie. It looks very much like a giant kind of green moose. But in the movie, it's just a moose head, like a mounted head, that they then attach to a couch and some like palm leaves and make a creature out of it that they ride.
Yeah. But how do they bring it to life?
Well, obviously, you have to use the powder of life, or whatever that was.
Which is a huge plot point. It's a device in the book. There's more behind that, where that came from.
Oh, really? Oh, even before Mombi, they go into where that comes from.
Well, it actually starts with Mombi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they go into it in the movie, but there's a lot more to it in the book.
Okay, gotcha. Speaking of Mombi...
I was about to bring that part up with the many heads of Mombi that stuck out.
Well, then go
like,
for it,
that's
Paul.
Very memorable. Like, it was kind of creepy as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of creepy as an adult.
Yeah.
Kinda?
Yeah, that's where, and unfortunately, that's where you can kind of see some of the blue screen effects, like when she's taking off the heads. But
I didn't notice that.
But when they're all in the chambers and everything, that looks, you know, very real. I thought that was very well done.
Absolutely.
But just that whole concept. And yeah, that's directly out of the book. Is it like lock you in the tower till you get old and I'm going to take your head kind of a thing. And it's like, wow, this is a kid book.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely, well, Ken, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was terrifying. But
Good summary.
Yeah. But what I found humorous was I had, like, going back, I remembered so much about this movie, seeing it as a kid. And when we rewatched it, that my wife made some comment about, oh, and the heads. And mm-hmm. I had no idea what she was talking about.
Yep, me neither.
Yeah. And so then it got to the scene. I instantly remembered and then remembered that I'd probably suppressed the memory as a child because it is terrifying.
Yeah. I want to say the same thing happened to me. And I wish I could re-suppress it because that was probably my... I mean, it wasn't like overly scary. Like I had a nightmare that night, which wasn't the case at all. But it's just really creepy, especially when she reaches for the key and the powder.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then she wakes up and looks at her.
Dorothy girl.
It's giving me chills right now. Yeah. Just thinking about it.
And they all scream. And oh, God. Yeah. That is terrifying.
I'm seriously like freaking out about it right now. Crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to watch.
Yeah,
you're having a meltdown right now.
Yeah, the listeners can't see the goosebumps sticking up and the sweat right, streaming down your face.
Sweat,
yeah.
Not so much goosebumps, but yeah, it's definitely like cold sweat happening. How about you?
Now,
guys?
If I ever sneak into your bedroom, I'm gonna go, Francisco Ruiz.
why do that when you could say, "Hello, Earthling." My name is Darth Vader. I come to you from the planet Vulcan.
Right.
Because I don't have my radiation suit on.
Oh, there you go.
I guess you would need that. That's true. I digress, though. How about you guys? Paul, what would be a memory that you wish you could forget? Either because you didn't like it in the movie or just because it was really scary, like for me and Kellen?
That's a good question. The whole movie was kind of dark in general.
Yeah, low lighting.
Yeah, just these dark undertones. And unlike the other Oz movies that are out now I can say there's more than one Oz movie out now besides that one.
Right.
It's much more, a little bit more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. And even in the books, even as dark as these concepts are, the whole tone is very lighthearted. Like, it's hard to describe beyond that. So, and I'm more of a person. I know I'm not one of these persons that, you know, darker is better, you know, but I'm one of them that likes the lighter.
Mm-hmm. So even in the books, it doesn't go as dark as it seems to in the movie.
It does, but the way it's handled is lighter.
Huh?
Right.
It's hard to describe.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you can imagine in a children's book when you say, I'm going to lock you in a tower and you're going to get old and then I'll take your head. It, in a book, it's one thing, you know, you can see something like that in like Rapunzel or things. But when it's actually a terrifying woman screaming that at a little girl on film, it becomes legitimately disturbing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how about you, Con? What's something that you wish you could forget?
Well, like I said, now I wish I could forget the heads, but I had already forgotten it.
Oh, yeah.
So going into the movie, I wished I could forget the Wheelers.
Oh,
because as a kid, they were nightmare inducing. Yeah, the squeaky wheels and the maniacal laughter and the creepy head helmet face mask things that they have. And
Yeah. That I feel like once they pop up and you see their human head, they become less creepy.
Yes.
Like the mask set is,
that was definitely what I remembered from my childhood was the creepy mask head, and yeah, those were terrifying.
As creepy as they were, I always thought it was cool that they could go on wheels on all fours like that. I thought that would be cool to travel around like that, and I even tried getting some wheels and doing that. I forget how, but. Like, you take them off a wagon and stuff like that.
Oh.
Like, maybe I can do that. That's cool.
Oh,
but I never could do it. But now I know you have to be like a gymnast and stuff with expandable arms.
Yeah.
Well, and I wondered looking at it with, like, you know, the yellow brick road torn up and the whole city in shambles, how do they wheel everywhere? They weren't like giant off-road wheels.
Though that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, they need like monster truck hands and feet to get anywhere in that city. And yet somehow they had a nice, like, smooth paved area everywhere they needed to go.
Right. Well, it's a movie.
Oh, sorry. Willing suspension of disbelief. My bad.
Yeah.
Wait, did you think that as a kid or as an adult?
A little bit as a kid, but I was too busy running away from the images as a child.
Talking about the Wheelers, though, I remember them as being really scary as a kid also, Colin. But seeing this movie again, after the initial like reveal of them, and I think after that one part where they're walking towards her in the dark down that hall, mm-hmm. I think before she goes inside and meets TikTok, I think they're definitely scary up until that point. Then afterwards, I feel like they just sort of lose something, and I'm not really sure what it is. After that point, I just feel like they're just generic henchmen for Mombi. But what do you guys think about that? I mean, Colin, it sounds like you still think they're scary through and through, but...
Yeah, well, I agree with you. They definitely become less scary. I think, when I was a kid, I would close my eyes for the part where they're creeping up on her in the hall, and afterwards I would watch, so...
Okay.
They definitely lose some of the scariness.
Sure. How about you, Paul?
It sounds about right. But I would watch the whole thing.
He was okay. Brave.
But I'm sure it was done on purpose because you're focusing on greater threats.
Yeah, that's true. It's supposed to kind of transition you onto Mombi being the scary one.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't really think about it that way. Good point, guys. All right. So that's
in the book.
Yeah, go for it.
When TikTok fights them off, he mentions that they're just like a bunch of bullies, that they're really afraid if you confront them.
Oh.
So it's one of the things that Dorothy learns to overcome. And you kind of do that in the movie in the same way. Your focus shifts from them to the greater dangers.
That's cool. I wish they would have brought that up in the movie. I think that would have added another just sort of tone or color to it. But
I'm personally shocked that the movie wasn't as good as the books. That never happens.
Touche, good sir. All right. What other sort of like random things do you guys remember, and that may have, like, when you watch again, you're like, that I remember that being different? Or I mean, maybe that's just me that does that, but any sort of random memories you guys want to bring up that stood out to you?
Helen?
The rock faces and the claymation stuff.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, that's funny.
You go first, but go for it.
Yeah. That's, I mean, just how cool I thought that was mm-hmm. as a kid and now watching.
Yeah.
You never see cool claymation like that anymore in a live action film. You know, you'll still get Paranorman and stuff like that. But something like this, where it's just out of the blue, suddenly a rock is looking at you with a awesome claymation face. I just thought that was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, I didn't know it was claymation. But as an adult, that's claymation for rocks like that is perfect.
Yeah, it's genius.
This
is one of those moments where I remembered something kind of off.
Yes.
So this, essentially, I had this memory of the Gnome King. I had remembered him being this like big stone giant guy. And he is that a little bit at the very end in the final scene. But I had this memory of him almost like, I think like similar to a statue, one of the statues you see in Clash of the Titans, the original, like the really tall ones and like sort of like cut out of marble. I remembered him being like that and talking like that, not being sort of this sort of man-sized gnome king before he goes in.
And there you have it, folks. It's just made-up memory.
It was a little more accurate than some.
Yeah, it's probably combined with like Jason and the Argonauts in this or something like that, or Clash of the Titans.
It's all claymation. What do you want from me?
Well, admit, my mental image of him was basically the rock eater from Neverending Story.
Oh, interesting. That's
kind of what I had in my head, but you know, a meaner version.
Yes.
God. I thought it was cool as a kid how he's part of the rock face, and then slowly through the scenes, he becomes more and more out of it and into the human.
Yeah.
I thought that was, as a kid, I even appreciated the special effects, how they did that.
I was like when that started, I was like, he looks different. Did I miss something? I guess I I wasn't paying close enough attention just a scene ago. And then after he got to this final formation where he showed the ruby slippers, I'm like, oh, wow, they have been changing him this whole time. But it was so gradual and so well done, I thought.
And the makeup on him with the to make him look like stone. I thought they did a good job.
And he looked great in ruby slippers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't, though?
That's true. And that was an interesting thing is in the books, Paul, they're not ruby slippers, right?
No, they're not.
They're like silver. But what
they are silver. Yeah. And as a kid, I remember that's kind of stupid to have him wear the ruby slippers because, I mean, he's a guy and here he is wearing girl shoes and it looks really weird. But in the books, he does. Dorothy loses the silver slippers on the way back to Oz, and he finds them, and he wears the silver slippers. So it's in the book. So,
and I read a little thing about the production of this movie, and they said that that's kind of the because when they made Return to Oz is when all the books went public domain.
Oh yeah.
So they didn't need MGM's permission. You know, who did the original Wizard of Oz movie? They didn't need their permission to do anything. However, since they wanted to use the ruby slippers to tie into the original film, they had to pay them some huge sum of money to get the rights just for the ruby slippers.
Oh, wow.
Well, they may have rubies. I mean,
they are expensive, I'm sure. Yeah. Sure.
You can't just ask the prop master to go get some ruby slippers. Yeah. Putting up the dough for those things. Plus, they're magical. I mean, they transport you to Oz. So. Anyways, let's refocus to talk since we're sort of in that same ballpark with the ruby slippers. What did you guys think of this rendition of Dorothy? I forget, Kellen, did you mention who she was played by?
Yes,
Farshamp.
Yeah, it's the weird name that I can't. It is
the girl from Waterboy.
Yeah, it is. It's a Fairuza Balk.
Thank you, Fairuza Balk. What do you guys think of her compared to the Jennifer Gardner? No, that's Alias.
Not quite.
Yeah, who are you thinking of?
who played in the 1939 version of Wizard of Oz? Who played Dorothy?
Gosh, Jennifer Gardner.
Julie Garland? Is that it?
Yeah, Julie Garland. Okay. Yeah.
I got the initials right.
That totally counts. Looks like the same thing.
Wow.
We're playing horseshoes, right? Almost counts.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, but what did you guys?
Do you know who was up for the role before Julie Garland got it? But who turned it down?
Whom?
Marilyn Monroe?
Shirley Temple.
See, that would have made more sense, I would think.
I don't know if she had the pipes.
No, but she was smaller in age and in height. And that's more towards the book, the age range.
Mm-hmm. That's true. My wife mentioned that she had seen a thing saying that they had to like bind her and like duct tape her down to make her look younger and smaller play the role.
Mm. And we're still talking about the Jennifer Garner character, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. In the show we watched, Return to Alias.
Yeah.
So, Paul, how did you think those two portrayals of Dorothy compared to one another? Do you like one more than the other? Do you think they both work in their own respective movies?
Yeah, they kind of both work in their own way. Because it's kind of hard because when I read the book, I kind of like have this ideal picture in my mind that I can't really fit on anybody. So sure. I appreciate each person's performance. If I had to pick one, of course I'd go with Judy Garland.
It's Judy.
But Judy.
Oh, I was saying Julie. Whoops.
Isn't it Judy?
I don't know.
Yes, it's Judy.
I thought it was Jennifer Garner. What do I know? Don't ask me.
I'm going to go with Judy.
So you'd prefer Judy Garner's performance overall?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. How about you, Kellen?
I also think I prefer Judy Garland overall.
Thanks for enunciating so we know.
I'm just making sure. Because if he says it wrong again, people are just going to tune out. It's like, that's the end.
So I thought Jennifer Grey did okay. But
and I'm hanging up.
You know what? So here's where I come from. I saw the original Wizard of Oz when I was like, when I came over and saw it with you and your wife, Paul. That was the first time I saw it. I think that was me when I was in my mid-20s. So
I remember you coming over seeing it with me and Val. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where were we?
You were in your Reseda apartment.
Really?
Yep. Reseda, Southern California, for those who are interested.
Yeah.
Later on, we'll sell maps for a tour of Paul's old homes.
No, it's kind of true. I moved every couple of years. Yeah. Because in my head, I was wondering this whole podcast if you had even seen the original Wizard of Oz, because last I thought I remembered you haven't. Well, at least for most of the time that I've known you, you haven't.
Yes, correct? That is true. Okay. But now I was actually there.
I don't even remember it. Yeah, now exactly. I'm the one with the false memory. Okay. Or you are.
No, I can get this to confirm if you need so.
Yeah. And I'll anyways, talk to Val.
All of that anyways, aside, okay. I saw it.
So that was just a few years ago.
Yes. Well, I'd say probably closer to 6 or 7 years ago now. But so I didn't really care. So I never saw it as far as I can remember when I was a kid. So I don't have a lot of fondness for it. And seeing it in my late 20s, I thought it was fine. It was just an old movie. I'd just as soon watch another old movie over it. Yeah, I don't really care for the older style musicals on the whole. That's just me. I like more contemporary musicals, but that's beside the point. But when I compare the two, I don't really compare both Dorothy's because I don't really care for either one so much. But since we're talking about Return to Oz, I'm just going to focus on...
Faruka Soul.
Oh, you're gesturing. Yeah.
Yes, I'm gesturing to Colin because I was hoping you'd save me with the name again because I cannot. Faruka.
Paul's got it.
Faruka's Paul's got it. That's an odd name.
Yeah.
Faruza Balk?
Faruza Balk.
Is that how you say it? I don't know how to say her name.
Yeah.
I just say the girl from Waterboy.
The girl from Waterboy.
Faruza Balk.
The girl from Return to Oz.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I mean, actually, rewatching the trailer, it brought about moments where I thought her performance was engaging. But as I mean, rewatching the movie on the whole, I felt like she wasn't, it's almost like she was playing the ghost of the character is the best way I can describe it. It's almost like she wasn't three-dimensional in her role, I felt. I felt like she was like either upset or worried or upset or at the very end happy. That is I think those were pretty much the dimensions of her. I mean, sure, she's young, and I can appreciate that. What?
Just described Dorothy in a nutshell.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, then maybe she's playing the role perfectly. But I would have liked to have seen more. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if another actor would have been better. I think I read that they went through lots of kids, and she was the best one of all the ones they found. But mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you know what it is? I'm comparing her to the likes of Dakota Fanning, who played roles at that age, who, I mean, she blows me away at, like, when you look at a movie like Man on Fire, or I'm trying to think of one of her earlier roles, which is not coming to me. But anyways. Yeah, so that's sort of my comparison.
So if they were to remake it, you would want Dakota Fanning when she was younger.
Yes, so they need to go back in time and remake it,
yes.
But not too far back in time.
Okay.
Speaking of remakes, though, and this is only tangentially related to Return to Oz, but I was looking at through Amazon for what other Wizard of Oz movies there were, and there's actually one called Witches of Oz with Sean Astin and Billy Boyd in it.
What?
I didn't look for when it came out. I'm guessing probably after Lord of the Rings, but I didn't research that much of it. I just found that curious that there was a movie with both of them in there. And as you guys, Wikipedia or Amazon away.
Yep.
Do you have any other thoughts on the story or the music or other elements like that about the movie?
I thought the music was a little kind of dumb.
Mm.
It got a little hokey in parts, and it just wasn't very engaging for me on the whole. Mm-hmm. That's just me. But yeah, Witches of Oz came out in 2011, so that's definitely after Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
By the way. Sorry, guys, but as you were saying.
Wow, amazing that you guys have just have that knowledge at the ready.
Yeah. We're pretty much encyclopedic.
Wouldn't want to keep our listeners.
Absolutely, you know, not, yeah.
Dangling too much.
How about you, Colin? Would you agree or disagree with Paul's assessment of the score?
I would have to agree with Paul's assessment. Because, yeah, especially from a Disney film, you know they've got the people on hand to pump out some pretty sweet scores.
Oh,
so,
totally, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of humdrum.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I felt like it was, especially reading, going back to Wikipedia, a highly reputable source, reading through about the production, because I was actually researching about the whole, is this the Henson Company? Who were the puppeteers? And it didn't really go into that, which I was frustrated by. But it did talk about how it was sort of a troubled production history with the director, I think, getting fired for a brief time, then coming back, and it taking him a long time to convince the studios to make it or something like that. And so it doesn't surprise me that there are elements of the movie that didn't really fit, and the music being one of them. I would agree with both you guys.
Hey, have any of you seen Tom and Jerry in The Wizard of Oz? I'm just looking at the cover, and that looks kind of cool. But anyway.
Apparently, we don't have much else to talk about in terms of Return to Oz. But, Ken, any other thoughts you had about any aspect?
Any other aspects? Yeah. Overall, and we kind of touched on this, but the puppeteering and the animation and all of that was really amazing. And knowing that it was Brian Henson and co makes perfect sense because, even the chicken, when the chicken's talking, like the first time it talks, I was kind of blown away at how.
Absolutely. I was like, did they somehow like wait and film this chicken when it would open its
when
beak
it was so talking?
No, but just so that they would sync it right at, just similar to that guy who with his dog waits till the dog talks and then syncs his voice with it.
I'll tell you the trick. It's peanut butter. Feed the chicken peanut butter, and when it removes its mouth, you film.
There you go. Are you being serious right now?
No, that's a puppet. It's a guy.
That is how you do it, like Mr. Ed. That's how they did Mr. Ed.
Yeah, that's how they did the horses back in the day. But
I don't think it would work too well with a chicken either.
Come here, chicken. No,
that's why. Ay, ay, ay.
Sarcasm is hard.
Especially when you have someone gullible like me.
You can even see his face.
Well, no, he's a little pixelated, so I can't tell his gestures.
Perfectly. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Better than most.
All right, guys. Well, I once again completely dropped the ball on asking you guys what your predictions were of Return to Oz before we got to our Retro Rewind Roundtable review. But let's go ahead and just start there now. Kellen, let's start with you. What did you predict regarding how you would rate Return to Oz, as I stutter in my thought processes. Did you think before you watched it that you would think, oh yeah, this is totally going to be a classic, or I don't think this will live up to my memories of it?
Yeah, and I have to preface this by saying that I put much thought into what makes a classic.
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a moment, but before that.
Yeah, so I'll say that I thought it would be a classic.
Okay, fair. How about yourself, Paul? What did you think before watching it, rewatching it?
Before watching, I was thinking that it might probably not be a classic.
Okay. And then for me, this is one of those movies, I think if you don't watch a movie for a very long time, it's really hard to have a gut feeling sometimes. I was pretty much on the fence. I think it could go either way. And I mean, I'm always hopeful for a classic. I want more classics in my life. Sounds odd, but yeah, I was not completely sure. And with that, let us get to the moment of truth.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, we're gonna do what is a class? What makes a classic?
As we do it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be part of our truthiness.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just trying to clarify.
No, that's fine. Paul, let's go ahead and start with you.
We're starting with me.
Yes. Is Return to Oz a classic or second class?
In my humble opinion, I would have to say this is not a classic.
So are you saying it's not second class or it is second class? Because those are the ratings. Class. We don't have a not Sorry. Classic class.
Sorry. I would rate this second class.
Oh, okay.
As if people, you know,
order is restored to the podcast.
If I had my peers over and they said, "Hey, let's watch a movie," and they hadn't seen Return to Oz, and there were some other ones that they also hadn't seen, I would go with some others.
No, that's totally fair. What is there? Like you were talking about other movies, is there one similar that you think would be a classic? That's a similar type of movie to Return to Oz.
I think I would watch this new movie, Oz Great and Powerful, before I'd watch this one again.
Oh, okay. Well, I was talking about an older movie. But
oh, an older one.
That's
I'm trying to think
to know,
of one.
Yeah,
I totally get that. If you think of one, you can chime in. Let's go ahead and go to Kellen, though. Kellen, yes. Is Return to Oz a classic or second class in your opinion?
I thought it was a classic.
Oh, and going against Paul,
yeah,
the great and powerful.
For similar reasons, I kind of took a hybrid approach to how you two seem to define a classic. Well, I've listened to the show, so you know,
which I very much appreciate. Thank you for coming on.
It's
and
great for a commute home. It's good stuff.
we have a long commute home.
I do.
I totally forgot.
Yes,
I'm completely interrupting you. We did have a response to I put up on Facebook. You know, if you have any memories of Return to Oz, share them with us and I'll read them on the show. And I'll go ahead and do that before I give my review. But please, Kellen, finish. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Funny.
My definition of classic is kind of twofold. One is it one that I will force my daughter to sit down and watch with me once she reaches an appropriate age to do so? Because one isn't quite, you know, she doesn't sit to do anything.
Yeah.
But
that is a good question, because my wife and I were discussing what age would we say it's okay for our children to watch.
Right.
And so what age do you think that would be for this movie?
I'm still learning about the whole child development thing because mine's only one, but I'm guessing maybe 4 or 5 because it is kind of scary,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's still kind of cutesy, and I think a little scary is okay.
Yeah, all right.
And then the other half of what is necessary to make a classic is kind of what you touched on, Paul, is it has to be something that if I had a group of friends and we wanted to watch a fun old movie, I would totally put this on. However, I will say that when Francisco asked you about an alternative that you might watch first, Labyrinth came to mind instantly.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Because that is similar in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. I think.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. Also made by Jim Henson Company.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I miss Jim Henson.
I know.
On the thing I wrote up on Facebook, Valerie responded that Return to Oz, I'm assuming is what she's referring to, is very creative and a unique movie. So thank you so much for adding your thoughts to the podcast, Valerie.
And unique is a very good word choice.
Yes.
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 I would agree with that review.
Hmm. Oh, really?
Yes, even though I thought it was second class.
Very good. All right. So it could go either way. Either classic or second class based on my opinion.
You hold all the power.
You can change your mind, Francisco. It's not too late.
Oh, you've seen the notes, huh?
No, I haven't.
I actually don't write down what I'm going to rate it on my notes, just in case Paul does peruse. All right. Well, I really wanted to say this was a classic, but I'm going to have to say Return to Oz is a second class movie.
No.
And there are a few reasons for that. For me, I think it was nice to see it again, but I did not enjoy the movie on the whole all that much. I thought here's what it is. I really enjoyed the puppeteering and the animatronics, but the really high contrast with that and all the other elements of the movie was almost like is way too glaring, and it sort of bothered me in that regard. So that made the movie less enjoyable for me.
I don't understand what you're talking
about.
But okay.
I think that's fair. I was with you.
I'll try explaining a little bit for your...
No. You don't need to go on.
All right.
I don't want to understand.
Yeah. People who understand, and we'll move on.
Okay. And though I would probably... say, Sophia, I watched this movie when I was younger. Is this something you'd want to watch? I think, Kellen, you said 5 or 6
at
the age? I'd say maybe... I'd probably go more like 7, 8. I think that's fine. I like that it was sort of a female-led adventure, but yeah. I think, Kellen, you hit it right on the head with Labyrinth is probably a better female-led adventure. And I wish there were more of those for me to share with her. And none really... Oh, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say Metroid. Or Ms. Pac-Man.
Yes, Metroid.
Or Ms. Pac-Man.
I wish there was a Metroid movie, but...
Well, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
I think they shopped it around for a while, but...
Yeah, then they found out they already made Aliens.
Oh, there you go. Though I would not show that to Sophia for a long time.
Yeah, that one gave me nightmares when I saw it too young.
Exactly. Totally getting off topic. So so for those reasons, I would not rate Return to Oz a second class movie. And I don't really have a better movie other than the ones we just listed for ones to watch instead. And with that, sadly, Return to Oz is not a classic. So unless you are...
No, I thought it was a disputed...
It is a disputed second class movie.
Right.
No, he's just discarding my opinion.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Now we
like,
know how you treat your guests.
Ooh, somebody's on a power trip.
He didn't even offer me any crackers or anything.
Oh, wow. And
would you like some pizza? Some round table pizza?
Too late now.
Round table pizza.
I don't even want your round table pizza, despite the fact that it's delicious.
All right. So, Return to Oz. If you find that you're really if you really jive with Kellen, then I think you're probably one of those types that want to go check out Return to Oz. But if you feel like you're more aligned with me and Paul, probably pass on it.
Do they know Kellen well enough to know they jive with him on his movie critiques?
Just from listening to the podcast, I feel like I know him verily.
They all know me.
Okay, because I mean, I've listened to Kellen so far. He sounds pretty cool, and I would believe him, but I unfortunately have to disagree with him on that. So I feel a little disappointed about your leading, Francisco, that I should follow him, and it turns out that it's wrong in this case. But that's all right.
My whole goal is to deceive you, so.
Oh, very well played, sir.
All right, Alice, I think you need to get us out of this crazy cycle that we are on.
ComSat Online. Receiving incoming transmission.
All right, let's go ahead. We have some feedback from people who have commented on our WordPress blog. Ah, I totally spilled the beans. That's WordPress. But yes, we do run our site on WordPress. And you can check it out, all the WordPress goodness, at retrorewindpodcast.com. But Paul, will you go ahead and read to us some of the comments we had on episode number 6, which was for Super Mario Brothers?
Yes, we actually had a comment from the good Sir Kellen here.
Oh.
Yes, he says, it's sad to say that there are Goombas in Super Mario Brothers or Super Mario World.
Wait. Pixar didn't happen.
Pixar didn't happen,
and I will let you know that I, in fact, linked a picture.
Dang it.
So, listeners, please go to the website, open up the podcast, look at the comments, and see me schooling your regular hosts.
Yes, I feel so bad that there... I totally forgot that there are Goombas. I can't tell you how many times I beat that game. And yes, even through the special, and where you turn all the shells of the turtles into Mario heads.
Right.
I don't know anything about that.
Dude, very cool. You shouldn't admit that, especially online.
You're not cool anymore. It just, sorry.
Nerd points deducted.
Yep.
Yes, major. Anyway, so Francisco responded back. Oh, man. I always thought those were apple/fruit things that grew eyes and legs, since they look a lot like fruit on the trees and bushes that Yoshi eats. And it says, thank you for the correction. I am now a much more informed Mario fan. So, yes, they do look like the fruit that Yoshi eats that grew eyes and legs. So they aren't the classic character design from the original, but I think Kellen is right that those are indeed Goombas there.
Yes. Well, thank you, Kellen, very much for that.
And thank also, you.
Yes.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, Francisco, I'm sorry your video game points in my book have went down, but Kellen's just went a whole lot up.
Yes.
Fantastic. I think he took your points away from you.
Francisco, you don't have to feel too bad. He got to what, like level 2 in Mario or Mega Man X?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Kellen. We have 5 comments. Well, we have a comment thread for our Anne of Green Gables episode, which was number 7. So Ken begins the conversation by saying, what? One was strong while the other was weak. This was around minute 23 or 24. Disagree.
Complimenting.
Thank you. Having complimenting qualities between friends doesn't mean one is stronger than and the other is weak. I'll give you the point that each of these two friends has strengths and weaknesses, and together they're stronger than they were apart. But neither character was weak in my opinion. And then I wrote back, I totally agree, Ken. That is what we're trying to get across. Though I can see how Paul is saying, so one was strong where the other was weak at 23:50. That was the timestamp. Could be interpreted that one was strong and the other was weak. But I think Paul was meaning that in the areas of life, one was strong, the other was weak, and vice versa, so that in the end, they complement each other rather than dominating one another. Thank you for bringing this up, Ken, as a point where we were misunderstood, and thank you for listening. Then Paul comes back and says, we weren't misunderstood at all. Hi, yeah. And thank you for...
It is, one was strong and one weak. How is that to be misunderstood?
Well, see, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, but yes, essentially you say that, no, I do think that Diana's character was weak and Anne was strong and Anne was kind of pushing her way, was just pushy. I'm not reading the whole comment. And then Ken responded, sure, I'll give you that, but where are the timid ones though? When backed into a corner, they can bite hard. And Paul said, tis true.
Yes.
All right. So that was the feedback we've gotten. Thank you so much to Ken and Kellen for writing on our WordPress site. Paul, how else can people get in touch with us?
Interestingly enough that you should ask, you can go to retrorewindpodcast.com. That's one way. Mm-hmm. Another way.
Do we have a Facebook?
Are there others?
Yes. But wait, there's more. If you act now, you can go to facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast. And you can find us on there, like us, and befriend us if you want.
Yes, and it'd be really awesome if we could get to 30 likes. Then I think we could interact with the people who like the page a little bit easier.
Oh,
Facebook opens up. Yeah, right. Facebook opens up some stuff when you get to that point.
Oh wow! Ooh, a level is unlocked.
Exactly. You get your achievement points.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and you can also email us at feedback@retro. No, wait.
Yeah, that's right. Retro Rewind Podcast.
Yeah, so contact us. Tell us to talk more about other things or shut up about other areas. So yes. Let us know what you think.
I've gotten some feedback, just verbal, from some people I've talked to about the show, and they think it can get to be a little long. So I'd love to know whether other people think it's too long, or if you think it's too short. I'm a little aghast, but please let us know that if that's the case.
You could fix it in post, edit it down.
All right. Thank you, Paul, for sharing how people can get in touch with us. And I want to before I thank you guys, even though you guys deserve many thanks for being on the show, Kellen, can you share how people can get in touch with you if they'd like to contact you?
Well, I've got a pager that they can get a hold of. I can give out my pager number if
you'd
like.
Very old school. Yeah, rocking the pager.
I also have a Telegram. So if you'd like to send me telegrams, you can do that through the post office. Or
are telegrams through the post office?
I have no idea.
But you have a telegram number.
Well, sure.
I am thoroughly confused now.
Okay.
I think you may be fibbing right now.
No, I'm not fibbing at all. Okay. And this tuxedo is real llama wool. So... alternatively, I suppose you could find me on Facebook, since Francisco already spilled my name. It is, in fact, Kellen Arb. You can find me on Facebook or Google+. I'm sure you could find me other places on the internet, but I'd stick to those two because I actually use them.
That is important when trying to get in contact with someone.
Yes, it's possible I have a Twitter feed, but I don't think I've ever used it.
Nice.
Kind of like my Google feed.
Yeah, right.
Well, speaking of your feeds, how can people get in touch with you?
The best way is to go to pauljpowers.com, and at the website there, you can link to all the social media that I am connected to.
Very cool. And I checked out your site after you mentioned it last episode, and it's cool. It's cool seeing a lot of your artwork that you've been working on through the years.
Oh, yeah. Most of them are old. Well, haven't touched it in years and years and years.
That one image at the top, though, that's new. Pretty new. I like that.
The one of my face?
No, the one of the podcast.
Oh, the one of the podcast.
You tried to lead him. You tried.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the 16-bit characters?
Yes.
Yes, of Francisco and me. For people who know us, try to figure out which one's which.
You can get in contact with me through the show, the ways that Paul mentioned on the show. I have a Twitter feed that I don't check that often, which is at Francisco X Ruiz, but probably through Facebook would be a more direct route. And those links, you can find that on the About page for RetroRewindPodcast.com. Just the link that says About.
For people up in Canada, is it the About page?
Sure, why not? But I also have something to promote this week. So with that, I'll play this.
Do you remember playing great PC games like King's Quest, Command & Conquer, and X-Wing? Do you remember spending hours tweaking your config sys and auto-exec bat files to eke out just one more K of conventional memory? If you then you may be interested in my show, The Upper Memory Block. Every 2 weeks, we talk in-depth about a game, game series, company, or technology from the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. We'll discuss the story, gameplay, and technology of the games of the time. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what made each game special, interesting stories from their development, and how they shaped what PC gaming is today. If you remember gaming in the late 80s and early 90s, or you're interested in finding out more about it, come join your host Joe in the Upper Memory Block. That's the Upper Memory Block podcast at umbcast.com, or find it on iTunes.
Yeah, definitely check out the Upper Memory Block podcast. It's a really great podcast. The last episode he did was on the Something Machine, the
Incredible Machine?
The Incredible Machine, yes.
That was a great one, yes.
I never played it, but it sounded like a lot of fun.
I'm going to have to check out the podcast.
Yeah, totally. Definitely do. umbpodcast.com. Well,
next time we will be rewinding back to Batteries Not Included, or from some year, about the little robots and the old the people in the apartment and stuff.
Yeah, so if you want to send us your thoughts or memories about Batteries Not Included, we'd love to include those in the show. So post those on our Facebook wall for the Retro Rewind podcast, or email us.
Yeah, or here's an idea. You can go and you can watch it, and by the next time we do a podcast, you might get more interaction, or you might enjoy the podcast a little better having recently seen it like we did.
Oh, absolutely. Good point, Paul. All right. With that, I'd like to thank you very much, Kellen, for being on the show, coming on.
It was my pleasure.
I'm glad. I'm glad it was your pleasure.
I know you didn't really enjoy it as much as I did, so yeah, Paul's loving it.
Yeah. No, but thank you very much. It was really awesome to have you on. And Paul, thank you as always for being the most awesome co-host.
The only.
There, no, other people, other podcasters have co-hosts, but they're not as awesome as you. So.
Oh, you mean all in general? Oh, okay. Of all the podcasts in all the world, you're saying I'm the best.
Yes, not so much the best on the uptake, but you are the best.
Oh, okay. All.
He's working on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
We'll get a training montage. He'll be ready by next week.
Awesome. And though Alice had some glitches, I thank her. But most of all, I'd like to thank you listeners for listening to the show and just contributing your thoughts and your feedback. It's really awesome to have this ongoing conversation with you about movies from yore.
The land of yore?
Yes. Y-O-R-E? Yes.
Yes, that land.
Mm-hmm. The Grand Duke of Yore. He had 10,000 men. What?
I don't know. But with that, if you'd like to support the show, there are two ways to do that. Either tell a friend about this show called the Retro Rewind Podcast, and that they should, if you think they'll like it, say, check this out. I really enjoy it. Then the second way is to rate and review us on iTunes. That way, the more ratings and reviews we have, the higher we come up on search results in iTunes. And also, just let people know, if you use Stitcher, either on your mobile device or if you have it embedded in your car, which some cars do nowadays, you can find us there. We are now available on Stitcher Radio.
And computers. They have the internet on computers now.
That's what I hear. With that, we will not see you, not listen to you, but hopefully
I was about to say, how about until next time?
Until next time. See you later.
No!
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to NAV Point Omega and return to base.